Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe that today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be part of. We hope to see you this Sunday morning here at City Life.
I want to dig into scripture right away. Are you guys cool with that? Awesome. Luke 4:42. Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent." So he continued to travel around, preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. Mark 1:14. Later on, after Jesus was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." Mark 16:15. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed." Amen. This is good. What is the common thread that you continually heard in these verses? The good news. Everybody say the good news. Oh, the good news. My question to you today is, what is the good news that Jesus came to preach? What is it? If somebody at work or school asked you, "Okay, so what is this gospel? What is this good news that you believe in?" Would you be able to easily tell them what it is? Okay, to be honest, like a year ago, I would not have been able to answer this easily and clearly. This is not good, okay? This is not a good thing because our whole Christian faith is based on the good news that Jesus brought, right? Okay, so if you're here and you're like, "You know what? I don't know if I'd be able to word it clearly what the good news is," that is okay today. I hope that I can change that. If you're here and you're not a believer and you cannot answer the question of what the good news is, then have you been rejecting the wrong God? Or maybe you are here and you can answer this clearly. That is awesome. This is great. And you know what? We should never grow tired of hearing what the good news is, because Jesus preached it and that is what the whole Bible is about. And so we just need to always, it's like, yes, the good news, hear it over and over. You know, and Mike and Monica, they said, "Melissa, you preach on whatever topic you want today." And I was like, I need to talk about the good news. I need to, because it is so important, and I think that we might be missing. If I'm missing something, I assume at least another person is missing something. So, because this is how I would have answered what the good news is, okay? This is what have been kind of, I would have answered something like this. God loves you and sent Jesus to earth for you because you're a sinner, and Jesus died for your sins so that you can go to heaven. Something like this, right? But here's the thing, is that is not the complete gospel. That is actually not the complete gospel, but how many of us say that that's what it is? That is not the complete picture, but today I want to share what the complete picture is. Oh, it is awesome. Thank you, Taylor. Okay, here's what it said. Is the gospel in Western civilization somewhere along the way has become not the good news, right? It has become misunderstood news. It has become diluted, polluted, and cheapened somewhere along the way. We treat the good news like we're handing this little gift to somebody and we're saying, "Here, this can help you maybe," right? That's how we treat the good news. But what is crazy about that is that the good news has stood the test of time. It's been 2,000 years. It's been going strong. Right? Like, we hear news now. I mean, 2,000 years from now, if it's still, like, changing people's lives, then talk to me. But this, right, well, we can't because we won't be here. But, you know, But 2,000 years strong, this good news has been changing people's lives and gathering people. Unlike other religions, where they are popular in certain parts of the world with certain people groups, the gospel, the good news, has actually spread throughout the whole world. It touches all nations, all people groups, all ages, all demographics. You know, Jesus had thousands of people following him because of this good news. And they were being healed and liberated. And the early Christians, as well as people today, are being willingly persecuted because of this good news. So this good news is not something like, oh, it's something nice and sweet that Christians, you know, like will offer sometimes. It's like the good news changes stuff. So why are we not treating it like that? And so I'm excited to share with you guys what I've learned about the good news so that we can be proud to share it. So I want to talk about three things: where we have gone wrong about the good news, what the good news truly means, and what do we do with this good news. So the first point is where we've gone wrong about the good news. And N.T. Wright, who is a theologian, he makes this huge statement: we have not understood the gospel. In many churches, the good news has subtly changed into good advice. Here's how to live. Here's how to pray. Here's how to make sure you're on the right track for what happens after death. You won't go to hell, you'll go to heaven. Here's how to do it. That is advice. It is not news. And Jesus came with not advice, but with news. And it was good news. And so where did we go wrong? Why is this what we're offering people? And I really believe it's our culture's worldview has seeped into the message of Jesus. And we through time, you just don't even realize it, but it is like snuck in ever so slightly, and it has shifted what the good news actually is. And then that causes us to be misinformed about what the good news is. And it causes us to have this like fear or uncertainty about sharing it. Here are some of the worldviews that we often hear. These are the things that have like seeped into what we now believe. We hear people say, faith is fine as long as it helps you. There are many religions. Who knows which one is right? Why press religion on anybody? Let's be tolerant and let each person have his or her own way. Who has heard this before? Yeah, like this is our current worldview. But when we allow these worldviews into our beliefs, it causes us to present Jesus as a coping mechanism for a burdened life. It causes us to offer Jesus as an option instead of the real event of Jesus on earth. And it causes us to not share the good news. And so I'm not insinuating that after church, you go get a soapbox and stand and like ream people out and yell at people and be like, the good news, you know, don't freak people out. I'm not saying, you know, to go and bulldoze your opinions on people. I'm not saying that. You know, because the gospel is one of love and of hope. So it would be completely opposite if we're to just like disrespect people. But the gospel is an event that happened. It is an event that happened in history, and it changed the trajectory of the world. It is not advice. The gospel is not advice. It is an event. You know, the gospel isn't, oh, that's nice for you if you want to believe it. That's not the gospel. The gospel is good, and it is news. And so where we've gone wrong is we've allowed our culture's worldviews to dilute the gospel. So instead, we need to allow God to remind us of what that good news is. So we're going to go to his word. And you know, when the word gospel is used in the Bible, it's a Greek word called euangelion. Do you want to say that? Euangelion. There you go. A little Greek for you this morning. But this actually means good news. Okay, so when we see the word gospel in the Bible, it means good news. And when we see good news in the Bible, it means good news. So that's why I interchange, I say them, you know, back and forth, because they mean the same thing. They mean good news. And during Jesus' time, people would have known that gospel means good news, right? But they also commonly use the word gospel as a public announcement of the change of rulership. Okay, so the gospel was that Tiberius has now been enthroned to be emperor. That's how people would have heard this word used a lot. So they're saying, you know, the gospel is that Tiberius is now enthroned. That means he's going to make life better, right? So it's going to change all of our lives for the better. right? So a gospel is a public statement about something that happened that would change the way things were. We don't use the word gospel, right? We don't really use the word gospel when we're announcing the change in rulership. It's not, the gospel is that President Trump has now been enthroned. Because some of us may not think this is good news. I don't know your political views. I'm not saying anything, okay? But news, we know the word news, right? We use this word, we have a lot of it. News is the same thing. It is a public statement about something that happened and it changes the course of our life, right? So, you know, there's news like when you find out that you're pregnant, this is news. This is going to change your life forever, right? Maybe it's good. I don't know. You know, there's also, you know, if you have a serious medical condition and you go to the doctor and you come back and you find out that you are healthy, this is good news. This is you finding out. This changes the trajectory of your life, right? Or you find out that you have that promotion. That's going to change your family's life. So it is a public announcement or public statement about something that happened and it would change the way things were. So when Jesus shows up on the scene and he uses the word gospel or he uses the word good news, to his listeners, what he is saying is, hey, something has happened, and it's going to change the way things are. Okay? And this is what Jesus is doing over and over again. He's saying, hey, something has happened, and it's changing everything. Mark 1:14, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in this gospel. Luke 4:43, I must proclaim this good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. What Jesus is doing is he's actually announcing a change in rulership. Okay, what he is saying is God is now ruler over everything. There is a change, and it is God who is now ruler. Not Caesar, not Tiberius, not the conservatives or the liberal party. God. And this is news. And I don't know about you, but I worked at a restaurant for about 8 years, and you know, in the restaurant world, there's a lot of, like, people leaving, people coming. And a lot of the time, well, like, not the customers, but the management is what I meant to say. Because hopefully the customers leave. Like, get out! Management, you know? So I saw a lot of different managers. And all of the managers, whenever they would come in, a new manager would be like, I have plans for the restaurant. I'm going to make it great. We're going to hit the highest numbers we've ever seen. And you're all going to wear heels. And you're like, no. Okay, but they have a new way of doing things because they think this is going to make life better, right? And so, this is the same with God. He is bringing in a new way of doing things. He's bringing in his management, his rulership. So he's got a new way of doing life. And Jesus is telling us that this is the good news. That this is the good news. That God, his kingdom is coming and there's a new way of life. And so when we hear God's kingdom, when we hear that word, God's kingdom means God's way. His way of doing things, his management style, okay? So what is God's way? It's healing the sick, healing the blind, healing the broken, freeing captives, bringing love and acceptance and grace to all mankind. That's God's way. That is an awesome way. Who does not want a boss like that, right? Whatever Jesus modeled on earth, that is God's way. He was showing us what God's kingdom was all about. And so the good news is the gospel that Jesus is going around preaching and proclaiming is that the kingdom of God is near. That is what he is saying. He's saying God's kingdom is near and he's bringing his way to us, which is funny because it's like, how did I miss this when I was reading the Bible, right? It's like super clear. It's like, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That is why I was sent. It's like, okay, that's very easy. I don't know. So the good news is about the kingdom of God being near. Can you guys repeat that? What is the good news? We need to say that again. What is the good news? It's the kingdom of God being near. So if somebody asks you, what is the good news? It is the kingdom of God being near. So when the early Christians, when they would have used this word gospel, it would have been a slap in the face to whoever was in power of that time, right? Old Caesar on the throne. It's like, hey, buddy, just to let you know, you're actually not in charge. It's God, right? And it's not, this is not how the early Christians came and presented. They weren't like, hey, I have this new religious experience. You might like to try it on. That was not how they came and presented the gospel. They're like, no, this happened. And this is how it is, right? Like, there's no tiptoeing around things. The gospel shared is Jesus, the crucified Messiah of Israel, is the Lord of the world. And so that's when we give the invitation to believe the gospel. It cannot simply be just this like intellectual thing where it's like, okay, yeah, this, I believe, great. And it cannot simply be this like feeling that we have, this emotion that we're like, ooh, this feels so good. You know, that isn't the gospel. The gospel is just facts. It's an event that happened. You know, even, and I think too, it's like, what's funny is that you can believe or you cannot believe that this is a fact, but it is a fact. Do you know what I mean? Like Trudeau being prime minister, you can be like, I don't believe it. It's like, okay, well, too bad. It's true. You know what I mean? I don't know. So here is the thing, is by Jesus coming to earth. So when Jesus came to earth, what he was doing is he was bringing with him the kingdom of God. That's why he said the kingdom of God is near. Okay? And through his actions and through his life, he showed us what that kingdom looks like, right? Healing, loving, bringing peace. And then it was through the resurrection. This is why Christianity hinges on the resurrection and why this is what is most celebrated, because it's by Jesus going to the grave, rising again, fully renewed body, living it up, eating, hanging out with the people. It's by his resurrection that he actually brought God's kingdom. So it's like, okay, now it is here now. This is like my stamp of approval. Here it is. Because he conquered death. Like, I don't know who's here and you've conquered death or you've seen somebody conquer death. Like, it was 3 days out of the grave and he came back fully, fully renewed back into the body that God intended him to be in. And so that was him saying, sin and death, you no longer rule over this world. You are the old rulership, but now I have won, and that is why he is Lord over all. It is awesome. And this is what is good news for all of us, and it brings us hope. You know, and my husband, when I was reading my message to him, I said, it brings us hope. And he's like, Melissa, explain what that means. And so then I was like, okay. So I explained to him, you know, what that meant to me. And he's like, I have something better for you. Use my example. So I said, okay, it is better. You're so smart. So the word shalom means, may it be for you as God always intended. So how did God always intend us to live? With him directly. A face-to-face relationship, that was God's intention for mankind. And that is our hope. That God is now Lord over everything, and that he is restoring the earth to bring us back to our original intention. To be face-to-face with our awesome God. And this is so awesome because our God's ways is all about love and restoring and peace and health. Like, who doesn't want to be in his presence? And so N.T. Wright, he puts it like this. What then is the gospel? The good news is that the one true God has now taken charge of the world in and through Jesus and his death and resurrection. The ancient hopes have been indeed fulfilled, but in a way nobody imagined. God planned to put the world right and has finally been launched. He has grasped the world in a new way to sort it out and fill it with his glory and justice as he always promised. But he has done so in a way beyond the wildest dreams of prophecy. The ancient sickness that crippled the whole world and humans with it has been cured at last, so that new life can rise up in its place. Life has come to life and is pouring out like a mighty river into the world in the form of a new power, the power of love. The good news was and is that this is all has happened in and through Jesus, that one day it will happen completely and utterly to all creation, and that we humans, every single one of us, whoever we are, can be caught up in that transformation here and now. This is the Christian gospel. Isn't that awesome? Oh, dang, Jesus, you are so good. So my point number 3 is, what do we do with this good news? You know, because maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, great, this sounds like the best thing ever, but I have a problem. Why can't I see it? If he is Lord over all right now, why is there still brokenness? Why is there still pain? Why is there still disease? Right? It's a good question. Okay. God is so tricky. He's so sneaky. I don't know if you know that. I love that he does things always differently than we expect him to do. But once he became king, instead of doing out with the old and in with the new, because he could have, right? He could have just been like, boom, this is how it was meant to be. But instead of doing that, Jesus launched God's new world right in the middle of the old world. Right? Weird. Why? That doesn't make any sense. And so I kind of picture it. We have a picture of grass coming through concrete. And so I picture the two worlds intersecting like this, where our world is like the concrete, right? It's like the broken, hard world, and God's kingdom is springing up through it. It's coming through like new, fresh life. And that's how I picture God's kingdom being here in the old kingdom as well. And so ultimately, in the end, Jesus talked a lot about the final wrapping up of everything, right? He talked about the end times. He talked about that there will be final judgment and what he actually intended for the world, right? That's talked about a lot in the Bible. And it sounds intense. But until then, you know, we're in the now and the not yet. So we're waiting for those final things to happen where he will make everything right and he will make everything new the way he intended it to be. But until then, we're in the now and the not yet. We're in the broken and the new, and it's weird, and we're like, what do we do with it, right? And I really believe it's because God's heart and his desire is the same since the beginning. In the beginning, what do we see? We see God, who creates everything, right? He just brings light. He brings mountains and oceans and squids.
Weird.
Shows you God's cool weirdness. Those things freak me out. Do you ever think when you're in the water, you're like, a squid, right? I do. I don't know what it is. Ooh, Popeye, that's what it is. Popeye messed me up. Popeye, there's like the squid in the water. He's going to get him. The baby, it's going to get the baby. But Popeye got him. Popeye is a representation of Jesus. Okay. That's not biblical. Okay. So in the beginning, we see God create. We see him make everything beautiful. And what does he do is he hands that creation over to humanity. That's what he does. He's like, okay, now you're in charge. Who trusts their kids with stuff? Like the nicest thing ever. You get like this new beautiful couch and you got a 2-year-old. And I'm like, you can't go in this room. You're going to mess it up. Right? But God trusts us with his creation. He actually calls us to be co-creators. Like the fact that God even lets us reproduce.
I'm like, you're amazing.
It's true. It is crazy. Because you're like, I'm going to mess lots of things up. But he called us to take care of the earth. And that is his same heart. His same heart is to now, through the resurrection, you know, he brought God's kingdom to earth. That's what Jesus did. And it's through us that he wants to bring God's kingdom to the rest of the world. It's our job to bring God's kingdom to the rest of the world. Isn't that insane? It's like, don't trust me. I really suck. But it's the Holy Spirit, you guys. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. It's not, yeah, it's really not us, but it is us. It's weird. Okay, but this is where we go so wrong, is we think the gospel is about us, right? We think the gospel is about us living a happy life, being healed and forgiven and whole, go to heaven. That's what we think the gospel is about, and it is not. Like, that is a part of it, but we actually have a purpose that we need to work out. You know, in Tim Keller, he makes this comment, the gospel is about him, not us. Not first how to get saved, but first and foremost about Jesus. The gospel is not to tell you how to get saved, but it is the story of Jesus. And when you believe it, then you are saved. And the gospel is first and foremost about what God has accomplished. And he invites us into what he has accomplished. He is so good. And our purpose as Christians, when we do believe in the gospel, our purpose is to care for creation, is to work out God's kingdom here on earth, to live as his image and spread his wisdom and care to the world. And so what does this look like in our lives? You know, how do we outwork this? Well, it's right where you're at, in your school, in your work, even if you hate your job. God needs you to bring his... If you hate your job, he needs you to bring the kingdom there. You hate it for a reason, so you need to bring God's kingdom with you. It's on our teams. It's in our families, in our friend groups. We need to be bringing God's kingdom. That means like praying over people, praying healing over people. That's God's kingdom, is to see healing over his people. So we should be praying for it. We need to be painting, preaching, singing, sewing, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, recycling, praying for coworkers whose marriage is failing, encourage and embrace the down and outers, create inventions that will restore the planet. That is our job. And it is sharing. Yeah, you can clap for Jesus. It is sharing the gospel. That is our job. And God wants us to be a part of this. You know, so how can we keep this to ourselves? Man, it is not meant to be. This is like what enlivens us. This is what brings us to life and makes us new. It's like, how can I not share this with other people? You know, that we do have a greater hope. The greater hope is that God's kingdom is here and now, and we get to work it out on earth with him. You know, and I don't know about you guys, but I do not want to waste my life. I do not want to become a part of our culture where we're just consumers, where I just like continue to get and get, like I show up, I just get things from God so that I'm happy and then don't do anything about it. I'm just getting fat. It's true. We are not meant, if you are not outworking God's kingdom, that's what's happening. And if you're kind of like meh, meh, meh about life, it's because you're not on purpose. You're not, you haven't actually figured out the second half of the gospel. We got a purpose, people. And so to be a part of this new reality, Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, believe. The word repent means turn from where you're going. You're walking in one direction, and Jesus says, repent, turn, follow him. That is, it means leave where you're going and turn around and go the way he is going. This is hard. Right? It is hard. A lot of the times we want to do both, right? We're like, I'm going to follow Jesus, but I'm going to go my way. You know, we're like doing this weird, like, he's like, you look weird, turn around. This is enough, right? But we actually need to turn and follow him and believe in the gospel. And then you're saved. And then you get to outwork his kingdom. So if you're wondering, it's like, hey, what do? Turn around. Wherever you're going, turn. And if you don't know what that means, ask him. Ask God. He wants to talk to us. He wants to tell you. It's like, hey, man, do not go this way. You're pursuing your own selfish desires by going this way, even if it looks good sometimes. He's like, turn around, follow me. You know, there's no magical prayer and there's no act, you know, that you have to clean up before you turn around. He just says, turn around and just believe. And he'll work it out as we're walking with him. You know, and I just want to encourage everybody to really know what the good news is. You know, it's like, I'm here to remind us, but ultimately, it's our job to get it in us. Because at the end, it's like, when we're before God, we only say, this is what my life looked like. I'm not, you know what I mean? It's like we're before God and it's like we're judged based on what we did, not what somebody else didn't do for our lives. So what are you doing? 1 Peter 3:15, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So let's stand up. God, we are so thankful that, Father, that you give us chances. God, that you trust us. You're amazing. That's amazing that you trust us, Lord. God, thank you that even when we think wrong, or when we even preach your word wrong, God, thank you that you, Father, forgive us and that you point us in the right direction. God, we pray that we fully understand what the good news means. God, that it was an event that happened where you became Lord over all things, that this broken world is no longer the ruler, but God, that your kingdom is here. God, we are so thankful, Father, that your heart is, God, to restore humanity. God, that you hate the brokenness. And Jesus, we just come to you, Father, and there are people I know who want to turn from where they're going. God, there are people who are like, man, I've been going the wrong way. And Father, we just come to you now, and church, we're going to pray all together with those who this is, you know, really meaningful, and their time to turn around. And repeat after me, thank you, Jesus, for coming and living and dying and rising again and giving me a hope. Thank you for your rulership. I believe in what has happened. I believe in these events, and I turn and I follow you. Help me to follow you. Help me stay on track. And thank you that when I don't, you pick me up and you bring me along. In Jesus' name. Yeah, and God, we just pray, Father, for all those who do believe you and know you. And God, but we haven't been acting on purpose. Or God, maybe we've been distracted, or we've allowed our emotions or our circumstances to really turn us off of the path of your purpose and bringing your kingdom. And God, we ask that in this moment, Father, that you just start bringing us to life. God, that you start turning our heads. God, you start to remind us, you know, I've given you these gifts. I've given you these dreams because this is how I want you to outwork my kingdom. And God, we just pray, Father, that whatever is in our hand, Father, that we just give it to you. God, that we bring your kingdom wherever we're at. Jesus, if we have selfish motives, God, change our hearts. God, we want to do everything for your kingdom. God, we don't want to do things for us or just to make ourselves happy. But God, we ultimately want to show the world who you are. And God, help us to preach your good news. God, I pray for a boldness over your church. God, that we truly get an understanding of this good news. And Father, that you just give us a boldness, that your spirit just brings us to life. You know, when somebody asks us a question, or we know that it's time, it's like, man, I just need to tell them. God, help give us the word, Spirit, so that we can share your good news to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. And we look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.